Okay, I want to talk about the predominant emotion on this planet, and I want to start by defining some terms. Okay, like define your terms, young man. Okay, and I want to define the term emotion, and I've mentioned it before. And what I'd like to do is give you the word as it originally meant, which is emotion, the motion of the energy of E, or God, through the different worlds and through the physical. Oh, hold on. The predominant emotion on this planet now is ridiculousness, because we have to stop, because I've been in. See, it's interesting. Talk about the energy of spirit, okay, and the attunement. All right, well, all right. And that's what emotion means, all right? And what's happened is, in the course of our evolution as souls, what we've done is we've evolved or devolved because of our choices and because of our willful choice into our thoughts, into our emotions, into our karma, to create the separation from God. So that what used to be the spiritual energy is now filled with all the emotions that we love, you know, like hurt and anger and fear and all that kind of stuff. Okay, and that's, so when we think of emotion, that's what it's now become. And the relationship between the original meaning and the present meaning is that the meaning now and what that whole level is comprised of blocks the very spiritual flow. Okay? And because those are parts of the things that we've created in our embodiments as soul and have separated ourselves from God with, okay? The fear, the hurt, the pain, the anger, okay? And when we choose into that and we hold our consciousness there, then we're creating karma, we're creating the separation, okay? And so I want to answer the question or make the statement, what is the predominant emotion on this planet, from both sort of points of view, the original meaning and the meaning now. And I'm going to start with the latter. And the predominant emotion that is available on this planet is anger. Okay? And it's tremendous anger. Okay? And whether people are conscious of it or not, that's what really rules them. And what's it the anger at? Okay, but it's the anger at the expulsion or the anger being kicked out from God, from spirit, and being here. See, there's a part in us that registers this whole experience of wearing this thing called the body. We're all wearing the same outfit. You know, we're all wearing bodies. That's what you have to put on when you come to this planet. You all agree to wear a body. That's the ticket. Okay, you can't get into this planet without a body. Okay, that's your admission ticket. So we take the admission ticket and we put on this body. Okay, and the part of our consciousness just registers this whole experience as being kicked out of God, exiled, etc. And we have this tremendous anger at God, at spirit. Okay, and what we do is we find ways in our consciousness to make it okay. And what we do is we assuage it, or we do like vast runarounds. and we come up with a whole approach to life that totally bypasses that issue. So we'll try to be successful, you know, in whatever that means to you, climbing the corporate ladder or making a lot of money or being famous or however people want to play it, okay? Or they'll work it this way or they'll work it that way, and that's what their life becomes, okay? And they're doing it because, okay, I have to play this game, you see, and I have to be on this playing field because I'm here in the body. But I'm only doing this to kill time because I know I've been expelled from God, from spirit, you see? All right, and that engenders such anger, and with that, such hurt and such pain. But I'm not going to get involved with that, you see? So my whole focus is going to be on all these other things. And it's very accepted in this life. Oh, the guy's very successful, you know, or she's a great artist, or she's a this, or, you know, a great mom, or whatever. Okay, and that's the goal itself, and yeah, you've achieved it, okay? But I've never, ever heard anybody say, you know, this guy's really, really quite a success, you know? He really, really loves God. You know, I remember having a conversation with someone, and they went on and on and on and on about themselves and what they were, quote, achieving, etc., etc. I said, okay, well, that's nice, but how have you grown in loving God? And the person was speechless. And I don't know how often in that person's life that's happened before. But I'm sure you can count it on one hand, you know? We don't focus there. That's not our focus, and we don't have it engendered in us. And so we go all around, and people go all around, and even people focused on God, they pervert and they distort what's really said, and they play these games. Oh, this is valid, and God loves me if this happens, or if that happens, or if this happens, or if that happens. And it's not so, okay? And the whole purpose of what I'm involved with is simply teaching the presence of God, how to be present inside yourself with spirit, with the spirit you are. And we know that God lives in you as you. How can you be present with that? See, that's the whole meaning, okay? And coming at it from the original meaning of the word emotion, the predominant emotion is the fear of failure. Failure meaning that we've been expelled, that we haven't measured up. And we have this fear that, I'm really not good enough. I'm really not adequate enough. I really can't be with God. You see? And I'm separate. So I have this life down here. I always love that. Down here, you know, God's up there and we're down here. You know? God's a big boy, and he's not going to care about us down here. Because we're down here because we're less than. See, he's up there because he's more important. And we're less than. See? And that's our fear. And fear of failure. You know? And very close to that, if not kind of the same thing, is our fear of success. And what's success but the oneness with God? And we have a tremendous fear of being one with God. See, but the truth is that we walk around, humankind walks around with this tremendous fear of the separation, of not being good enough, fear of failure. Failure equals not being with God or being in the body. And so we don't feel adequate and we don't feel good enough, okay? But the truth is that inherent in you is the oneness with God, the oneness with Spirit. So you're automatically a success. You're automatically valuable. That's where your value comes. In the soul, you are one with Spirit. You see? And that's where our worth comes. And everybody under the sway of the false consciousness plays the worth game. Okay? How much worth do I have? And there are different ways of having it. You know, sometimes it's money, other times it's status or power, that sort of thing. But it equates to worth. You know, and in cultures or subcultures where there's no money, let's just say in a poverty-driven environment, well, then something else becomes the measure of worth. And it might be funny symbols of status or power, a funny test of power. You know, and you can study macro cultures. You can study, you know, mini micro cultures, you know, gangs, a cross-section of gangs and all that kind of stuff. And you see the same thing. A striving for some symbol, something that equals worth. Okay? Because we walk around thinking we don't have any. We have this fear of failure. And we have this incredible anger at being separate from God. Okay? But you see, that's the nice thing about the human consciousness. It's asleep. And it's in a dream. And so it thinks that what's in the dream is real. And then it responds to what's in the dream. Or that reality as if it were real. And then it has those emotions. Okay, so if I'm asleep as a soul, as spirit, and I think, hey, I'm separate from God and I'm here as a failure, well then guess what? I'm going to be really angry. See, and it goes round and round and round and round. And that's the predominant emotion. That's what makes everything move here, is this tremendous sense of anger and separation, okay? And it makes it move karmically. And we just keep spinning our karma. Okay, but you see, in a dream, you don't know that you're dreaming. And you mistake what's in the dream as reality, okay? And that's human life, okay? Until the soul starts to wake up. And we've talked about the mirror and the consciousness. What you see in the mirror you think is real. You don't realize they're the products of your own emotions, of your own thoughts, and of your own focusing. In other words, it's your karma, okay? So in other words, I think Edward's out to get me. Okay? All right. That's my thought. Because he's never let me beat him in basketball. And every time I bet, he wins. Okay? So I know he's after my money. He's out to get me. All right. So I have this thought. Edward's out to get me. It gets projected into the mirror. Edward's out to get me. Okay, I see it in the mirror as Edward's out to get me, and it's reflected back to me, and I think that that's the objective reality. Edward's out to get me. Oh, that's so. So I spend my life either avoiding Edward or in preparation of my contact with him, or somehow dealing with Edward, and I've forgotten that this is my creation, and it has nothing to do with Edward. Okay, and this is my hallucination, and this is my being asleep. Okay, and way it works in the human consciousness is, okay, I've kicked God out. See, we've kicked spirit out of our existence from the choices we've made as a soul. And we've chosen into karma. So we've marginalized spirit or God. We've kicked him out. Okay. Because of the way consciousness works, that things are inside out and backwards, it registers as God's kicked us out. Okay. So that we get, okay, God's kicked out. All right. And we have this real anger. Or we internalize it and feel inadequate. Hey, I wasn't good enough to be with God, to hang with God, you see? And that's the tremendous illusion on this planet. It goes right up there with death. Not good enough to be with God. This incredible fear of failure, you see? Of my being here, my wearing this body, my getting this admission ticket to this planet means I've failed. Not good enough to be with God. Okay. And the teachings I bring forward right the situation. They tell us, no, wait a second. Spirit is inside of you, and you are worthy, and you're inherently worthy. See? You know? And I love all the students who think they know more than the teacher. You know? And they think that being loved about and cared about and God's caring, God's loving, couldn't possibly be so. That was just the teacher's deception. You know? And that it really is so. We really aren't good enough. You know? And it always fascinates me. Everybody who believes, you know, all roads lead to God. And somehow when the Christ Jesus said, wide is the way, but narrow is the gate that leads unto eternal life, so many people go nuts about it. And I can never understand that. Because my point of view is, oh, you mean there is so much love that God put something in the system. He made sure there was a road built so that we can return to him. And what do? They just flip it around. Only one road? Well, Jesus Christ. You know, I know other roads. Well, good for you. You let me know where they go. I mean, I'll be the first to tell you, all roads lead to Rome. Okay, but that's where you're going to wind up. You're going to wind up in Rome. Okay? But if you want to go from Rome to God, hey, there is a way, and it's God's love. See, in my experience of all these people and all these souls' rejection, is they can't stand the love that's here for them. And it doesn't jive with their fear of failure, with their fear that, I'm here because I can't be with God. And you're telling me, wait a second, you can be with God while you're in the body? Oh no, I'm gonna prove you wrong. You're just the teacher, okay? I'm gonna prove you wrong, okay? You know, you may have a mandate from God, but I have a mandate from myself. Fine. Well, welcome to the club, you know? I'll even make little pins for you can wear. Okay, but at least know that's what you're doing. And if you need a couple of lifetimes with that, hey, good for you. Hang out with it, okay? But know that's what you're doing, okay? Know that when you think Edward's out to get you, know that that's your creation and you're seeing that in the mirror. And it has nothing to do with Edward. And I want to know how come you're not practicing your jump shot so that you can win the bet you have with Edward. You know why? Because we've forgotten even why we've created that. And all that's in the mirror is a remnant. And we take that fully and totally. And so we get confused. And in this world of form, there's so many things out there pulling us, if we allow it, pulling us out of ourselves, out of the spirit. And we can't tell who and what we are. Okay, and we've forgotten. Okay, but we know that if you stay inside in the way as prescribed, that that part gets strengthened. And we know that we are successful, that it's inherent with us. See, now think about this. If I said, hey, you're successful automatically because God put your loving ass here, okay, which is, it's good enough for me, it's good enough for anybody else. You don't need to prove yourself here. But along with that loving ass goes the soul that you are, and that soul is one with God, whether you remember that or not. And so you're automatically successful. So you don't have to spend one moment on this planet trying to be successful or accomplishing anything. Not one moment. What would you do with your life? You'd probably be in a deep panic, wouldn't you? I mean, how will people kill the time? You know? Think about that. Does that mean you don't do anything? No, on the contrary. You do more, but you do it from inside out. And the motivation isn't that you're driven, but that you're moved. The motor is God or spirit, and you're moved. See, and you're fulfilled from inside out. Not that you have to reach this goal. There are no goals to reach. The only goal to reach is God, and he ain't a goal, and he ain't reachable. He comes with you. He comes with the territory. The fact that you're alive and breathing means you've got a soul with you, folks. And that soul, that's what's animating you, and with that soul is God. So, it's a given. So you're trying to create proof of something so that you won't feel like a failure or kicked out of the garden. You'll have some worth when that's the starting point. You want your life to end up, think about it, at the very starting point, because you don't know that it's been given to you from the beginning. Okay, but I'm here to tell you, it's yours from the beginning. You are worthy, and God is with you, and Spirit is with you. You see? And the not good enough, not adequate stuff, that's your stuff and your creations, and because of that, you've kicked Spirit out. That doesn't mean Spirit's kicked you out. You just think it's so. You just are looking in the mirror and forgetting that's the mirror of your own creation. Okay? So, and this only becomes, you know, these will be words to you and maybe some words of wisdom, but you'll come to recognize it only as you wake up and wake up from the dream called human life. You see, it's a hallucination that we wake up from. See, now, if I walk down the street talking to someone who's not there and I'm hallucinating the person's there, you think I'm crazy, and I probably am crazy, and I probably get medicated, you know? And yet, it's exactly what we do in life. We're always in a hallucination. We always think things are so when they're not so. We're always pretending or making believe our thoughts are real, our feelings are real, when they're not. But because everybody does it, well then guess what? It's normal. It couldn't possibly be crazy. Well, that's not so. You know, reminds me of something I read in the paper today of some lady who thought she had breast cancer. So she went to this highfalutin Park Avenue radiologist, and he said, well, nah, looked at the x-ray, nah, you really don't have it. And why don't you have it? Well, because, you know, your family doesn't have any history of this disease. You're too young to have it. I think she was only 29 or so. You know, so therefore, you couldn't possibly have it because there's no statistical indication, you know? You see, you're one of the bunch. And according to this bunch, people that age and from that background where it's not, this disease isn't present, they don't have it. So you don't have it, you know? Well, she got a second opinion, and lo and behold, the next radiologist immediately hooked her up with a surgeon. Okay? And isn't that the whole framework? Well, this is how it all works, isn't it? How do you fit in statistically? And if it's, is it normal? Because everybody else does it. What does it look like compared to other people? You know? And so we're all doing this, and everybody thinks it's normal because we're comparing it to other people. See? Okay. So it's a real easy shot. Someone comes along and says, no, you are worthy. And God is with you. And that's the starting premise of your life. And you're here to remember that and to know that. Well, that person or that teaching is regarded as crazy. And that teaching is ostracized. And that person is ostracized at best. You know? Because it doesn't jive with the prevailing sleep, with the prevailing dream, with the hallucination. Okay? And that teaching or that teacher is not willing to play the game of, okay, let's call this human life because you're in the body. And let's make like you're awake because you're walking around. See, and that's the game. Okay, but okay, the real truth is that we need to wake up to God's love for us, that we are spirit, and that we're here not because we've been kicked out of the garden, but we're here as a loving opportunity that God's given us. Okay, now Melissa did a very nice introduction of the classes we have coming. Okay, but I would have added something. Okay, yeah, these classes are nice opportunities, okay? But I would have added, yeah, and take advantage of the opportunity. See, just like take advantage of the opportunity called human life. Tremendous opportunity here to know ourselves as spirit and to know God while we're in the body and to enter into eternal life while we're here. And to be with God. You know, I wish I could play the game and tell you like everybody else tells you, that's okay. You know, when you die, if you just believe in this or you believe in that or you believe in this, you'll get to heaven. Don't worry about it, you know? But I can't because it's not so. But I can tell you that if you do grow in love and if you do walk the path exactly as we've been taught by the Christ Jesus through initiation into the sound current, that indeed you do enter eternal life. Whether you choose to do it in this body or not, you will enter into it shortly thereafter, a couple of lifetimes. Okay, but it's your focus and your effort. It's totally your effort and your decision. Okay, but you're going to have to get the disconnect out of your system, which is, I'm not worthy to, I want to be with God. Because you can't be with God if you're expelling Him from your consciousness because you think you're not worthy. And then it gets flip-flopped around as, oh, God's kicked us out. He hasn't kicked you out. He wants you home. And that's why there is a road that He's put into the system for you to go home. Okay? So we need to accept the loving consciousness that is God. And we need to accept the loving consciousness that brings forth that knowledge, and that it's in you. See, and also because we're Westerners, we really think it's something outside ourselves, or if we surrender, therefore, the thing or the person or the teacher or whatever we're surrendering to, he's above us, you know, and he's going to dominate, because that's what we do. We play this power game, and power is dominance over. Okay, but if you know anything about how spirit works, you know that as you surrender, the more you surrender, the more you realize that the teachings or the teacher or spirit are really at your service. They're really your servants. And it's just the opposite of what we've created. Okay, so know that you're successful. Know that you are one with God. Know that you're here to realize that. And know that it's God's pleasure to show you that. And you have a choice. You have a choice to allow the emotion, the spiritual motion of God, of spirit, to move you, or you have the opportunity to jam it up with your emotions of fear and pain and hurt. The choice is yours. Okay, but isn't it nice to know that if you take initiation, you have a choice? You have a choice without it. At least you have a choice not to enter into the motions as used now. Okay? But isn't it nice to know that you're always a choice and you always have that power each and every moment? And that God's way is your way. And that the spirit inside of you is running your life and simply wants to recognize itself and know itself and fulfill itself and go back to where it came from. Okay? Yeah, because it's a stranger here, you see? And yet in our confusion, we've taken this world as our home. Okay, but it's not our home. The home is inside of us with spirit, with God, and we can be there any moment and every moment. And the food is good, you know? The manna from heaven is good. The sound current or the Holy Spirit that the soul eats and survives on and is delicious. And once it knows that, it won't be a fool anymore for the things of this world. But you got to admit to your success, and you got to admit that you are worthy, and you got to admit God's love. And I say the word admit in both senses of the word. Like admission, in the sense of entering into, you have to let all that in, and you also have to admit, in the sense of fess up, that it really is true. Okay, so my wish for you is that you wake up from this dream called life, and that you wake up and live your life exactly as intended by the spirit inside of you. Okay, but you have to base it on the knowledge that you're successful, God is one with you, and that it comes with you when you enter this body. And that this life is a tremendous gift and an opportunity to know yourself and to be with God each and every moment. And that you're responsible for your creations, and you can create karmically, fill all those energy fields with those emotions we talked about, or you can surrender to those force fields of God, or the force field that is God, and let yourself ride the sound current. And it's really that simple. Okay, I'll stop with that. Okay. All right, any questions from the from telephone land? Well, don't be shy. Okay, well, that was easy. How about here? Anyone here?
I have a
comment. Okay, well, we'll take a comment.
I just wanted to say that, well, I just wanted to thank you. This was so wonderful to me.
Okay,
I felt like I wanted to clap afterwards.
Well, go ahead. I don't want to stop you.
Well,
thank you. Okay.
I think it was so clear to me. And I think that when I've been into moments where I could have, you know, answer some questions from family and friends that are interested in the teachings, I don't know if I'm setting it up that way, but I feel it's just so brave from you to just be so direct about it. I don't know. I feel like I've always been a little afraid to.
Okay, and you're okay. And I guess what I'm hearing is A, that you appreciated the talk, which I appreciated, but the second thing is that when it comes to talking about this path, I'm so, quote, brave. And sometimes you're a little bit more hesitant.
No, you're not. But I don't know. Felt
sometimes you're a little hesitant.
Well, yeah, I feel.
Okay.
Of course,
and
I'm just a student.
The difference so far is I have nothing to lose. You see, I have nothing at all to lose. All right, and by that I mean that I don't have the karma to hold on to. I've been stripped of everything. Okay, so all I'm left with is the spirit that I am. I don't have hallucinations. The fact that Edward can beat me in basketball, that might have been my last illusion. Do you know what I'm saying? I don't have anything to hold on to. So I really have nothing to lose. Plus, I'm always focused on the spirit I am. So maybe that's what you need to do. Okay, and if you're going to worry about people's opinion and what they think, well, people are only coming from the karma that they're coming from. So, don't look for any intelligence there.
Well, thank you again.
Okay, but I appreciate it. Okay, but the thing is also, just share it from where you're at, and it's okay to share, just to share it. Okay, the only admonition I would give you is you need to watch people love to ask questions and questions and questions, and really, they have no interest in it, because they're asking questions and getting all that information is just another way they have of distancing themselves. Yeah.
Well, I really appreciate it.
Well, good. Well, thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Any other questions or comments from Telephone Land? Okay, Mr. Ed. He's going to tell me I didn't pay up from one time, right? One bet we had. Okay.
It's okay.
It's okay. Good.
Yeah.
Okay, good.
The dominant fear being anger and fear, is that by design so that we can return home to God?
Okay. Question is, and by the way, I didn't quite say that. I didn't say the predominant fear is. I said the predominant
emotion.
Okay, is fear of failure. Okay. Well, that wasn't the original intention. Okay, because that wasn't put in by God. Okay, that was put in by us. In other words, we created that through our choosing, our constant choosing into our creations. And by choosing into our creations, we chose away from spirit. We chose away from God, okay? And then after a while, because of the separation, well, we kicked God out because of the karma we created. So the way things are reversed, it looked like God had kicked us out. No. What is originally in the system, so to speak, or in our consciousness, however dim, is the memory of home and the memory of ourselves as spirit or free and home with God. And that's the thing that kind of kicks up every now and then. And people have the memory, and when they touch into it or it touches into them, that can be a tremendous opportunity. And people are always trying to connect. See, there's always this connection happening. Okay, but it's a distortion of the fact that we're all one, and we're one with spirit as well. And so we think as people that we have been disconnected or kicked out, and so we try to connect. And people try to connect either with drugs or with through sex or through drink or whatever, and they're always trying to connect. And really what they're trying to connect up with is the spirit inside of them. Okay, and that memory in us is still in us. And that's what the system has kept alive, so to speak, to help us with our memory pattern, really, of who we are. Okay, but the fear of our failure, you know, that's our distortion. We've distorted the real truth, which is that we are successful. And man, in his inevitable style, has flip-flopped it around and turned it in. So instead of the truth that we are successful, it's, uh-oh, we really are a failure. And we're afraid that that is so. In other words, we're afraid we're going to believe the garbage we've created in the mirror. And we've forgotten it's stuff we've created. We forget it's in the mirror. And so we walk around with this tremendous anger that, hey, yeah, it's true, and I'm fighting against it. But you're fighting against something that doesn't exist. Okay, and one more opportunity to the peanut gallery out on the other side of the phone. No? Boy, a very easy night. Okay. Well, how about one more here? Any here? Yes.
I have a question. Okay. How do we wake up from the hallucination?
You see, now this is going to drive me to drink. Okay. The question was, how do we wake up from the hallucination? Okay.
Quickly.
Well, no, that's your thing. Quickly. How long did it take you to create this hallucination? Well, lifetime and lifetime and lifetime. You devoted a lot of time, a lot of creativity, a lot of intelligence to creating this hallucination. Okay. So, you know, if it only takes a whole lifetime, well, hell, that's very quick compared to how long it's taken you to create it, okay? But how do you do it? You're serious with that question. Well, it's the prescription that the Christ Jesus has given us. I mean, that's the remedy. Initiation into the sound current. That's how you wake up, and you wake up the soul, and the soul starts to know itself and starts to remember and starts to turn inward upon itself, starts to see itself, starts to know itself, starts to recognize itself, starts to remember again. And that's how you wake up, and that's how the karma gets cleared and all that stuff. There is a way to wake up. The sound is the medication from the dream. See, everybody kind of wants to turn off the alarm clock, but eventually, I mean, it's scheduled for everyone because that's part of God's plan. Every soul is going to wake up. Okay, and there is a way to do it.
So if I'm hearing you correctly, when is... It's not a relevant question. It's just
no,
stay present and
right.
Follow, well, walk the path exactly as taught.
Well, yeah, but also if you're walking the path exactly as taught, then entering into when is doubly absurd for the simple reason, I'm not making you wrong, but it's doubly absurd because you're already embarking on the answer.
Okay.
And when it kicks in is exactly according to the way your karma lies and the way spirit works it. It'll be in perfect timing. So you can, you don't have to ask when, because it's an assured happening. Okay, it's guaranteed. Okay, and there is no time in spirit. Okay, but if you're putting that kind of pressure on yourself, then I suggest you just relax and trust. You don't need that kind of pressure. Okay, but just know that it's going to be a lot quicker for you waking up than it is in terms of the time it took you to create being asleep.
Thank you.
Sure.
That's good news.
Well, that is good news. That is good news. Okay, we'll take one more from the lady all the way in the back there. Well, hold on, because Howard loves to show off the tech stuff. So, hold on.
So, isn't
speak a little louder.
Isn't the moment of awakening the moment that you realize that you are totally responsible for your creations? And then in that moment you realize you're totally free. You belong to God and no one. God's always been you. But I have a feeling, it feels like to me, that is the big moment.
Okay, that, you know, it varies.
There's nobody to blame, there's nothing to do, but that everything that you do now, you create. Before you knew that.
Right.
Okay, well, before you had that moment of initiation.
Right.
Indeed, that's what happened to you when you have initiation. Does every single person realize when they get initiation that they are totally responsible for their creation? I don't know if that's true.
Okay, two things. One is, the question is, well, I think there were two questions.
Yeah.
One is that... is it true that the big moment is when we realize that we're responsible for our creation?
Yeah.
Okay, I don't know if it can be a big moment for a particular soul or some souls, but it will be at least one of them. Okay? Some of the big moments may be knowing that, hey, we are loved by God. It may be that we're one and the same by God, with God. It may be experiencing literally our creation as a soul in the beginning, okay? It may be whatever, okay? But in the process of waking up, the soul will definitely experience what you're talking about. It will come to know firsthand of its power, and that it's not a right and wrong thing, it's not a blame game or anything, but that it is responsible for all of its existences.
And that's how it becomes free.
And yeah, and that it's very responsible for its creation. Okay. The second question was, do people realize it when they get initiation? Okay, and I do have to correct the that question, because people don't get initiated. I don't initiate people, because people, they're just, you know, skin and bones, and they're going to go to the grave. They're just, that's nothing, okay? They're not eternal, okay? So they don't get initiated, okay? The soul in them does get initiated, okay, using the body, okay? And people are very responsible for being the custodian of the soul that's with them, okay? But the person does not get initiated, okay? The soul in them does, okay? And with that, the question is, well, do souls realize that they're totally responsible for their creations? Well, I certainly would hope that the answer is no, because based on what people do, and based on what some initiates have done after they've been initiated, if they knew that they were responsible and they've still proceeded to do that, well, then they're dumber than I could even envision, which means that the karma is even more upon them, and they're allowing that creation. Okay, so my sense is no, that the souls really don't know, but it's part of their waking up process and part of their discovery process, okay? Because I venture to say that if you knew that, like when you were 10, 11, 12, 13 years old, you probably wouldn't have done most things. And this world is very strange. You'd have to probably either live secluded or you just wouldn't be able to participate in what's called human life. So it's a process of discovery. See, and one of the nice things about this path is it's a great journey and it's a great voyage. You know, and we make such a big deal out of the space program and all this kind of stuff. You know, and yeah, it's wonderful to go explore outer space, you know, and there's some great products have come from our space program, you know. And we've been able to miniaturize things because of the space program. But the real journey and the real trip is the inner journey. That's really the discovery. And part of that voyage of discovery is to know that you are free and know that you are totally and completely responsible. So that it's impossible, if you know that, it's impossible to be victimized. You can't be victimized by anything, by any situation, any person, or anything. Okay? And if you can't be victimized, then that gives you a greater sense that you're powerful.
And you're always a choice.
And you're always a choice. Always a choice. And maybe this is also going to answer your question too, Edward. What's always in the system is God wants us to know Him and return to Him and love Him volitionally from our will, the exercise of our will. See, and we know that Spirit lives in us as us, so that we know that our will and God's will are one and the same. But because of how the false self works, we think it's the opposite, because of how the ego is structured. So we get crucified in time and space. And we have to engage in this wake-up process and this soul process to come into the soul body and be resurrected. That's how it works. Okay, did you have another question or comment?
I was thinking throughout all this, you know, like I think of my own life, and there was a time that I really didn't know any better.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whether it be please, mommy, daddy, sister, brother, husband, right. You're constantly trying to do something for somebody else. And one day you realize it's really not true. You mm-hmm. belong to God. You are totally free.
Right.
And you can now choose every moment.
Right.
But it only happens in that moment when you were chosen or awakened.
Right.
Or something changes in your life.
Right. And you can still.
Never the same,
right.
But you do realize you are totally a choice, so you don't feel sorry.
Right. And when you realize.
You're not a victim anymore.
Right. And when you realize you're totally a choice, you can still wind up doing the same things, but from a different perspective.
Yes.
So in other words, instead of pleasing mommy, daddy, husband, sister, brother, out of a sense of, oh my God, I better or they won't love me, you can choose to do that because that's what you wish to do.
I know personally,
that food tastes a hell of a lot better when the person cooking makes that choice out of love and caring rather than, all right, I'll cook something for you. You know? Because when other people have cooked for me from that attitude, it doesn't work.
Thank you.
Okay, good. All right, well, we'll call it a night.
Okay.
All right, so a night. So let me say good night to New Jersey. God bless you, Miss KP and Donald. And Mr. Ty, they have mutes on? If you have your mute on, you can unmute if you haven't already. Okay, I'm going to say goodnight to New Jersey. Okay, not all at once, but goodnight. And goodnight, Chicago.
Presentation mode is on. Only organizers heard. Conversation mode is on. Everyone can now be heard.
Hi.
I hear you.
Hello?
Yes.
Sorry. Okay. I had a question, too.
Oh, we had a couple questions.
I did, too.
I love you. I love you in New York.
Say that again?
I guess everybody was on mute, so they couldn't ask questions.
Yeah, that's what happened. Yeah, you need to have a protocol and have the protocol followed. We need to follow the protocol. Okay. I can only take one question from out. Are we on?
Yes, we are.
Okay. I can only take one more question from out there because we're going to have to start a class very soon. Okay, so go ahead. Whoever wants to ask a question can ask a question.
Well, I will.
Okay.
If you can hear me. Can you hear me?
Yep, we can hear you fine.
Oh, hi. It's Alice.
Alice from Wisconsin.
Are all emotions created by humans? I mean, do we create emotions?
Okay.
Are they karmic creations or
okay,
some
that,
of them?
Yeah, that's
any of them come from God?
Yeah, that's a good question. No, they are karmic creations, and that's how emotion in the original meaning got to be emotions as they're used now. They have to do with how we've distorted the spiritual energy and the creations we've made. Okay, and so these are our karmic creations, and they go with us. Okay, in other words, the emotions go into the causal realm, and they come with us. Okay, and these are our karmic creations. Okay, but you see, God wouldn't have us be responsible, as it were, or have us have them if there was no point to it. Okay, but there is a point. A is eventually we're going to see that, hey, yeah, we did create this stuff, and so we are responsible, okay? But also, because these creations are along the negative pathway, they can help strengthen us into the positive. And so we can choose into spirit away from this negativity. So they have a purpose, okay? And that's why God sends it with us, so to speak, okay? Are they His creations? No. Okay? But God, out of His loving kindness, He allows us to learn from our creations and from our existences. Okay? And this is a product of our existence, our emotions. And we are karmically responsible for them, so we get to have them as karma. Okay. That was a very good question. So you can't blame some of those emotions on God. But you can use them to lift towards Him. That's for sure. Okay, good. Well, I'll tell you what. I was so happy with that question. I'll take one more quickly.
I have a kind of a statement about allowing the Spirit to move.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
If I allow the Spirit to move me, is that a way to be with God's motion or return to that emotion, original emotion?
Okay. I heard you say you had a statement, then you ask a question.
Okay.
All right.
Okay, well, my statement was I kind of like the idea of allowing the Spirit to move me.
Okay, yeah, because it there's no effort on your part, and you don't have to work out of an ego structure. So it's really nice to allow the Spirit to move you. Okay, so the question I heard you ask seemed to me something like, well, if I allow God's emotion to move me, is that God's motion? Is that what you're saying?
Or that original emotion that you spoke, that the energy motion that was there before we moved into karma.
Right. Well, yeah, of course.
Okay. I think I understand it.
Yeah. Well, sure. That's what's missing. That's what needs to be your, in a sense, your motivation, And when the karma is upon us, then we're pushed down and out into the world. When we hold steady inside ourselves with the spirit, well, then that just propels us. And we're moved from inside out. And there's a big difference. And it's freeing. And so we're just moving and fulfilling ourselves naturally in our own rhythm. There's nothing to accomplish. There's no goal to reach. There's nothing. And we're coming from the place of already having been successful, which is being at God. So we have to allow that success. And when we allow God's energy to move us, or the spirit we are to move us, then we're allowing that success. Okay, well, thank you.
Thank you.
Sure. Okay, well, now I'm going to say goodnight to New Jersey. God bless you, Don and KP.